Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabiryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 1 Description of the Form of Bhagavan, page 66. Paramatma is contrary and not contrary, is mano and is not mano, is speech and is not speech, is Indra and is not Indra, is action and is not action. Paingi Shruti Naisha Tarkena Matir Apaneya. This knowledge cannot be achieved by logic. Katha Upanishad 1:29. The Lord is the abode of all Shaktis. Great thinkers cannot conceive of Him. Vishnu Purana 6:8:56. Knowing the truth about Vishnu, who is a single entity, but also endowed with unlimited differences, one is qualified to give diksha not only to surrendered devotees, but to the whole world. Narada Pancharatra. Like, because you see everything connected to Krishna. That's the essential point. Right? Because if you're not seeing it connected to Krishna, then, you know, one is not going to see so much. It means you can give advice, you can give association and all that. But when you actually can see how Krishna is one entity, but at the same time he has diverse qualities, that then you have a proper understanding. Since the Lord is beyond logic, knowledge, which seeks to defeat other concepts based on logic, cannot be applied to the Lord. Therefore it is said in Hamsaguya prayers, I offer respects to the great Lord of eternal qualities, whose material energy is the cause of agreement and disagreement among those who make philosophies and then argue with others, and whose material energy continually bewilders them as to the real nature of Atma. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.31. It is proper to conclude that the Lord is the shelter of various Shaktis, which are mutually contrary, since He is simultaneously the sole shelter of all qualities, which are mutually contrary to each other, and which are seen or heard of in the world. The realization of the learned will be shown plentifully later. Right, so now they're showing you'll get into that, but the point is to remove these doubts about the position of the Lord. Right, so He has all these various Shaktis. All the Shaktis will be different, right? Details are always different from each other. Right? But it doesn't mean that there's a problem there. They all have their particular function. Right? Let's just say we have a warehouse. Right? And in this warehouse, there's so many varieties of things that are in the warehouse. So, now, many of those things in the warehouse are contradictory to each other. Right? Like that. But that doesn't mean that the warehouse is now contradictory. The warehouse is a warehouse. You know. So that's the thing. Krishna has unlimited energies. They're all different from each other. So many of them will be contrary. But that doesn't have any effect on Him. It has effect on us.
Yes.
You know, therefore, you see the material energy applying it. The different sages, they have different philosophies. They argue with each other. And then at the same time, they never even really understand the real nature of the soul. Thus, that Shastri exists Thus such shaktis exist in the Lord alone. But in the form of Bhagavan, they are realized profusely. Right? They exist in the Lord, but in the Lord, in Bhagavan, then you're going to appreciate, because the pastimes, the interaction, the rasa. Right? In Brahman, these qualities are not realized profusely. Right? So there's a vague understanding. It means that Brahman has all these aspects, but we're not actually seeing. So when we say Brahman, it means the person, but we're talking about Brahman being how he's transcendently situated, how he's pervading everything, how everything is him. That's the meaning. That's that feature of the Lord. So it's an impersonal concept, but it's the person who is doing that. Does that make sense? So here you see, as they say Bhagavan and they say Brahman, though before it was saying Brahman means the personality of Godhead, but it means the personality of Godhead in this feature. So there's no difference. It's just you're looking at the Lord more from this side, or you're looking at him from the middle or from the other side. So, yeah.
When we say that the Lord has contradictory potencies, is that a problem?
Is that a problem? It's not for us, but it's a problem for others, because the difficulty comes up is that where do difficulties come up? If you have relationships, you're dealing and all that, where do the problems come up?
When it's contradictory?
Yes, in the differences. So then, now if my idea is to become happy, then the first step is one's going to work out these differences, right? In other words, you're going to make it so it's the same as whatever you're thinking or doing, right? And so then, you know, you want it exactly the same, and that is what you're doing, but at the same time, no one else should be the same as you, right? So it's already a contradiction we're starting from, right? So then when we get frustrated seeing that we cannot manipulate the material energy so it comes out the way we want, right, because we're optimistic we can, then we become pessimistic. Right, and then pessimism, then you just want to get rid of things. So anything, all these forms and shapes and differences and all that, you just want to get rid of. So then that comes to these philosophies, the impersonal features, right, like that. So on this but the point is that still it's the Lord who's pervading and making everything function. The difficulty comes up is we're not seeing these since it is the Lord, we're not working with these different energies in connection with the Lord. Because that's all God consciousness is, or self-realization, is you see that the everything's the Lord, so therefore you're going to work with everything in context of the Lord. Not that, oh, it's the Lord, so therefore I can do with it whatever I want. Oh, you know, we're supposed to be God conscious, and so this is about Krishna, so I can deal with this how I want because it's Krishna. No. It's because it's Krishna, you have to deal with it the way Krishna wants. That's Krishna conscious. Is that what I'm saying? Just because we're conscious of other living entities doesn't mean that we're not self-conscious. Right? We're seeing other living entities in the context of what we will gain from it. Does that make sense? So, it's still self-centered. You know? So then only when we see the energies in the context of how we can engage these energies that belong to Krishna in Krishna's service, then that's Krishna consciousness. Right? So that's the crux of the matter. Is that this idea is, no, if we just behave nicely, it'll all be good. That means it can be as nice as you can get. But the problem is since we're not the gross and subtle bodies, with the soul, then the nicest arrangements with the gross and subtle bodies, like we see in the heavenly planets or in Satyaloka, it will still not satisfy the soul. Right? There's the idea that, oh, if we get that, I will be happy. But the point is there's tons of people who have whatever you don't have, and they're trying to get something else that possibly you have that they don't have. It's just like, are there people in the world who, let's say, don't have much facilities? you know, like that. They live maybe in the country and don't have much facilities, okay? They don't have computers, they don't have phones and everything like that, okay? So the person in the country, there's a chance he's thinking he would like to have a, you know, phone and a computer and all these things and more nice facilities, right? So they make that endeavor. Then you have these super rich people that have nothing better to do with their money. They're going on these retreats where they're organized. They pay ridiculous amounts of money for it. They take them to some out-of-the-way place where they stick them out in a cabin with no electricity, no phones, no computers, no nothing. And they pay big money for that. You know, all they have to do is go live with the people who are living like that. They can, you know, and then bring them a computer and phone. It'll be like, you know, 1/10 the price, or if not more, you know, 1/100 the price. You know, so that's the thing. It's whatever one person has, another person's trying to get that, and you have this, and you think you go for that. Why? Because there's no satisfaction. So that's the inherent problem with the material world, is that it's not a matter of pessimism, it's a matter of realism, that it's just, it can't do what we think it will. That's the illusion, that's the bewilderment. So when we see it in connection with Krishna, then yes, we get the best facility, best everything. But it's not because, oh, they're devotees, so now because they're nice, now everything's going good. No, it's because you're Krishna conscious, you see everything with contact with Krishna, therefore everything runs nice. Does that make sense? So we have to be careful of this dualistic kind of approach. That we're thinking that the material world can be a nice place if everyone was just nice. Point is that even if everybody is nice and it is fabulous, you'll still not be satisfied. It's just the way it is. That's why then it's recommended that whatever you have, just be satisfied and use it for Krishna. And performing your occupational duties, if more things come, great. But to have this anxiety, not only until when I get this, then I'll be happy. It won't happen, because you get that and you're still not happy. You know, oh, if I get this, I'll be happy. Then you get it, and then, well, I want it in two other colors. Right? You know? Like that. So it's still not going to work. So that makes sense to you. So, in Brahman, these qualities are not realized profusely, because you're just dealing with the impersonal aspect. So you can take in one situation, you can bring out a quality. Like in the pillar, okay, we're bringing out strength. You know, or we're looking at architecturally, so the particular, you know, how it blends in the aesthetics of it. Or, you know, we might look at, oh, the natural aspect of it, how much it fits in with nature. Or we might look at the economic, but we're just looking at one at a time. Sometimes a little bit of a combination, but so you're not really profusely seeing the qualities that are there. But in Krishna and his pastimes, that's where you're going to see it. Thus it is said, that knowledge is Brahman. It is without any kind of difference. It is pure existence, is beyond the power of words to express, and is self-knowing. Vishnu Purana 6.7.53. So you can't describe, because you've got everything in it and all this, right? Pratyastamita means not showing. Thus, among the various shrutis which proclaim Dvaita or Advaita, the nature of Brahman is predominated by these two forms, Bhagavan and Brahman. One can say that Shakti exists in the Lord who is ultimately different from quality and no quality. But one must ask, can this Shakti exist in something without qualities? Or does it exist as a quality inherent in Brahman? Right? Because how does energy exist without a support? We don't have any example of energy existing on its own. So you can say, it's one or it's two, but the point is the energy can't exist on its own. It has to be in the context of the support of that, you know, or the Shaktiman. Right? So, or does it exist as a quality inherent in Brahman? Right? So the Shaktis are inherent in Brahman, but we're talking about it's impersonal. Right? Because if I say strength, that's impersonal. Right? The misnomer is that impersonal means absolutely nothing, but that's not impersonalism, that's voidism. Right? There's a difference. Voidism just means there's nothing, and where is there just nothing? So we're saying that, you know, it must be there because whatever is here, it just has to be the opposite. Right? But that's using our mundane logic. So if we can't, if spiritual is different from the material, how we can't create a concept of it based on the material. Right? So their whole concept is all based on their material intelligence, their material logic. That's why it says you can't know the Lord or know Brahman by mundane intelligence. Right? The doubt should be answered. The following question will also arise for the opponent. Quote, can ignorance exist in Brahman, which is endowed with knowledge, or is Brahman completely free of ignorance? End quote. This question should be answered also. What more need it be said about the problems of a Dvaita Vad? Right? Because then they'll come up with all these difficulties. So if he's endowed with knowledge, does that mean then their ignorance is there? So then all these different problems come up. So that's why they simplify it down and ignore all these things. They just don't discuss these things. So as soon as you bring it up, they change the subject into a different point. You know, it's the standard thing. Everybody will tend to do that when an argument's not going your way. You just change the subject. You know, something that's not too different. You know, it appears that you're logically connecting. Right? Having defeated the advocates of a Lord having no qualities, who are like obstructive toll collectors. Obstructive toll collectors, right? Because they're always at a bridge, right? And so then, generally speaking, you have under the bridge are the trolls. So before they used to collect the tolls?
Something. Troll toll?
Hmm? Yeah. Okay. Having defeated the advocates of the Lord having no qualities, the Sri Vaishnavas who speak of the Lord endowed with qualities attain the goal by taking the royal road and finally attain the abode of the Lord. How can Brahman, which is without gunas, without measurement, pure and spotless, perform the creation of this world? Vishnu Purana 1.3.1. The Shaktis of all existing things are understood by accepting that they are inconceivable. Since Brahman has self-accomplishing Shaktis for causing the creation, just as heat emanates from fire because of fire's nature. Vishnu Purana 1.3.2. So it's asking, how can this be? By the Shaktis, right? So we see the impersonals will take the first one and see, how can it be? It's not possible. Mm-hmm. No, but it says, the next verse says, because of the Shaktis. Mm-hmm. Right? So these Shaktis, they accomplish everything. That way, Brahman is unchanging. Right? And being the source of unlimited Shaktis, how can you describe that? Right? Sridhar Swami explains. In this world, the Shaktis of gems and mantras are understood as knowledge which is inconceivable or beyond logic. It is simply accepted by the results, right? Because the particular gems or the mantras, they give results. That's how we can tell it works. But otherwise, you can't see the logic in it. Why is it you wear this little green stone on your finger and then it adjusts things like that? It's not logical, right? So that's the whole point, is that it's accepted, it's inconceivable, because you see the results. So in the same way as you see the results, how things function in the world. Or, what is inconceivable cannot be understood by thinking in terms of difference and non-difference. Only by artapatti, circumstantial proof, can they be accepted. This is because Brahman has self-accomplished natural shaktis, Bhava Shaktayaha, which caused creation of the universe just as fire has the natural power to burn. Thus, Brahman causes the creation because the Lord has inconceivable Shaktis, though he is devoid of material gunas. Shruti says, natasya karayam karanam cha vidyate. He has no body and no senses. Sweta Sutara Upanishad 6.8. Mayam tu prakritim vidyam mayinam cha mahesham. Know the extraordinary material energy and its Lord, the cause of Maya. Sweta Sutara Upanishad 4.10. 4.10. 6.8. Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. Or the meaning of the Vishnu Purana verse can be as follows. The Shaktis of things like gems and mantras, Sarva Bhavanam, like the heat of fire, are understood as inconceivable. Similarly, Brahman's Shaktis are not different from the Surup of the Lord, Bhava Shaktaya. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. He has no body and no senses. Oh, this is Sweta Svatara, okay. Yes, please. Yeah, somehow I was thinking it was Taittiriya, and I says it doesn't have that many sections. Like that. He has no body and no senses. No one is equal to him or higher. His supreme power is manifold. His actions are naturally revealed with knowledge and strength. Sweta Svatara Upanishad, right? So you're saying no body, no strength, no senses, like that. And then you're saying there's power. Is unlimited variety. The actions are naturally, there's actions. How do you do that without the body? And there's revealed to knowledge and strength. So then, that's the thing. It's all contradictory. Why? Because the Lord has energies. Sweta Sotara 6.8. His Shaktis cannot be stopped, just as the influence of gems or mantras, like the heat of fire, cannot be stopped. His power is unlimited. Sava ayam asya sarvasya vasi sarvasya shana sarvasya dhipatihi. This Atma is the controller of all, the Lord of all. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.22. Tapasam shreshta means, O best of burning Shaktis. This indicates the Shakti of the Lord, since creation arises only because of Brahman. It cannot be otherwise. Otherwise, where does it come from? Right? So, it's not, Krishna personally isn't establishing it, just like we see. Him personally, you know, interacting with his Icha Shakti is not even managing all the things that are in the spiritual world. Right? The Kriya and Jnana Shaktis manage that. Right? But the Kriya means that you're going to what's there is already being, is happening. And so then there has to be a basis of that. There has to be the position, the relationships, the mood, and all these kind of things that are there. Then you activate those. So that means the Jnana is the basis of that. Right? So that's your Brahman aspect. Somebody say? Yeah. So that's then pervading through everything. So that's then why the basis is there. Then you apply, then you get results. So Krishna himself is not doing it anyway. It's being done by his other features. Does that make sense? But at the same time, it's Krishna who's, it's his desire. That's why it happens. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinam tu maheshwaram. Know the Lord's maya of prakriti and its possessor. Maya here indicates that this energy is natural to the Lord, since it has already been defined by the word prakritim. Mayinam, one who possesses power, means that this maya is eternally related to its Lord, maheshwaram. He is superior to maya, being related to the Lord. This maya is not different from him, since it takes shelter of him alone, though it is material. Thus the sentence can mean, quote, no prakriti, the energy, which is not different from the Supreme Lord, the possessor of maya, end quote. Maheshwaram can also refer to the Surup Shakti of the Lord. Because it's the great controlling, the energies that are controlling everything. So it can be the Surup Shakti. Right? So because the Shakti is arising from his Sarup, his form. Svargaya in the Vishnu Purana verse means the Shaktis of creation, maintenance, and destruction. The Shaktis which reveal the Lord's Sarup and powers are in plural, Shaktayaha, though as a class they are one, in order to show their variegated functions. Right? So the Sarup Shakti is one, but at the same time there's a variety within that. So even the major is internal, external, and marginal. And then within those you have so many breakdowns. Right? Ramanujacharya says, if scripture intends to explain illusion of the world with a Brahman, which is knowledge, devoid of qualities as the basis, by using the words like Nirguna, then words like Shakti should not occur at all. Right? Because if Nirguna is the basis, that there's no qualities in that, and it's just Brahman, why does Shastra mention Shaktis are doing it? Otherwise, because if Brahman is the cause, why would you mention Shaktis? Certainly the spiritual creation of Brahman is Nirguna. However, to say it is produced by illusion should be refuted. One may object that persons controlled by karma perform imperfect activities in a creation endowed with sattva and other gunas. How can the Lord, who is without such qualities, have a relationship with this type of world? Right, so if this world is based on the modes and the Lord has no gunas, then how can there be a relationship with the Lord and this place that has the gunas? Because to work with something, you have to have something common quality in which you can deal with it. Mm-hmm. Right? The answer is that the Lord is endowed with all Shaktis, and this is not contrary to his condition, since he has no equal. Right? Because we can say, oh no, but how can this be? But he has no equal. We can't do that. Because we're just Shakti, we're not Shaktiman. So that's the thing, as we try to be Shaktiman and be the Lord, we fail. We don't do such a great job. You know, because if we're God, then we're falling a bit short. Right? So, he being different means he is the source of these Shaktis. And at the same time as being the source, he's still different from the Shaktis. But the Shaktis are non-different from him, since he's the source of them. Right? It is like the heat of fire, which is different from water, which cannot produce heat as its nature. Right? So fire can produce heat, water doesn't. Right? Sri Bhasya 111, 88. What is that, 88? Oh, 88.
And 88, one and 88. 1-1.
Oh, 88. Okay, not.
That's two verses. 111.
Not paragraph 88 in the purport of the first verse.
That'd be impressive.
That mean could be. It could. Is. It's on 111, but it's his 88 shloka. You know? No, because they write. They do. I think everything within the first four verses. They've commented on everything in the first four verses. I think for us, we do it in the first 11.
Oh. That's where the Shris do it in the first four. Ramadhan.
Yeah, I think so. Or it's the other way around. I don't remember which. But point is that everything that there is to discuss in Vedanta Sutra has already been discussed in there. But we won't fully understand it until we go through the rest of it. Yeah.
Like this particular purport explanation by Jiva Goswami also. It explains everything of the Sandarbha. But he again writes, no, another 100 anuchedas just tell him.
Yes, so that you get the full appreciation. Because it's like this. How many times is it said Brahman has Shakti? Right? Since we've gone into this particular discussion. You know, so the last 30 pages, it's like each page says it at least 4 or 5 times. And so, having repeated it so many times, you know, that means like 100 times or more it's been repeated. Now we're starting to catch, oh, okay, Brahman has Shakti. So that's the whole point, is that repetition. Repetition, then we start to notice. Otherwise, yeah, we've heard that and move on. But to realize, that's the whole point. Because you have to be able to apply it, and then that will give you realization.
Maharaj, can we say that this is the role of Maya to cover this knowledge and to make us feel that we are the Shaktiman?
Yes. Yeah, she covers. So it's only through devotion that it starts to get revealed. So we have a lot of covering of I am the Lord and Master of all I survey. And so the devotional service can clear it all. Yeah. It just depends how seriously we're taking that, then that much gets cleared. Mm-hmm. So we see this after, 30 pages of this, then we're starting to go, oh, there's a pattern here. Gita also teaches that the Lord has natural shaktis. I will now speak about the object of knowledge, knowing which you'll attain liberation. The object of knowledge, the Atma, is without beginning, dependent on me, and beyond material cause and effect. Everywhere Paramatma has his hands and feet. Everywhere Paramatma has his eyes, heads, and mouths. Everywhere are his ears. Paramatma covers everything in the universe. Paramatma is made glorious by possessing all senses and sense objects, but he is devoid of all material senses. He is without attachment, but maintains everything, right? Because we'll only maintain something because of attachment. As soon as we're not attached, we don't maintain. You have something that's very valuable, keep you like this, and then somebody points out something else is better, then immediately you're getting the new thing, and this one, you're interested? It's nice, it's good. Paramatma is made... He is without material qualities, but he is the enjoyer of all good qualities. So he has no material qualities, but he is enjoying the transcendental qualities. Right? Because the superior qualities, that's then what is Krishna. The inferior, that is just the misapplication of not seeing things connected to him. Right? So it's one of his energies. But it manifests due to not seeing it in connection with him. He is outside and inside all things. He moves and does not move. He is difficult to understand because of his subtle nature. He is not perceivable, but he can be perceived. He is undivided, though he appears divided in all the separate living entities. He is to be known as the maintenance, destruction, and creation of all things. This light of all light bodies is said to be beyond matter. He is knowledge itself, the object of knowledge, and obtained by that process of knowledge. He is situated in the heart of all. Bhagavad Gita 13:13-18. Shuteshtu shabda mulatvat. The defects of the agent do not apply to Brahman because of scriptural statements, which are the only proof concerning inconceivable subjects. Right? Because how will we know what's inconceivable unless the scriptures reveal it? And then, for the Mayavadis, they could complain. But at the same time, as they're also dealing with the same thing. It's Shastra that's revealing. So they can't complain about this point. Right? Brahma Sutra 2.127. Since the Shaktis of the Lord are natural to him and inconceivable, the Sri Vaishnavas do not accept that the Shaktis are produced by ignorance. If the natural inconceivable Shakti, which makes possible the impossible, does not exist, then the following should be considered, since it gives a good reason to accept this Shakti and shows the greatness of the Lord. One group, the Vaishnavas, say that inconceivable Shaktis, like that of mantras and gems, exist in pure Brahman. Otherwise, there would be extreme dualism. Brahman would be completely different from everything else, including its own qualities. Right? So even we say it's unlimited, it's a quality, it has to be, Brahman can't be described, so that means it's different than unlimited. It's different from unchanging. It's different from eternal. What are you dealing with here? The other group, Advaitins, say that Shakti appear in Brahman by ignorance, since dualism should be avoided in Brahman. Because right? They're taking it, that's if there's anything more than one thing, they can't accept variety. Like here, we have one pot. But you have a handle, you have a lid, you have the upper part, you have the main body, you have the foot, you have the spout. Mm-hmm. So there's inherent difference within the sarup of the pot. But they don't accept that. They just say it's just all homogenous. So, in other words, they're technically how you say they're means they're Maya bodies because they say it's all illusion. But their understanding of Brahman is not Brahman; it's actually Pradhan. That's the only thing that's homogenous, and as you know, can't make any distinction like that. So, Pradhana bodies. Okay. Yes. Okay. So then the point, Vishaya, ignorance is not possible in Brahman, which is pure knowledge. So Shamshaya and Purvapaksha. So the doubt. In answer to this, they argue as follows. Quote, ignorance merely takes shelter of Brahman and is not independent. Right. So it doesn't make any sense. It's not independent of Brahman. It simply takes shelter of Brahman, but Brahman has no ignorance. But then where, if it's taking shelter, where is it from? Yeah, so if it's from Brahman, then that means Brahman has Shaktis. Yeah. The existence of Jiva is produced by ignorance alone. Like thinking shell is silver. It is dependent on ignorance. Right, so they're saying ignorance is taking shelter of Brahman, so it's dependent on Brahman. But then the Brahman, the ignorance then is producing the Jiva. So it's doing that separately than Brahman. That way Brahman is unaffected by this change. Okay. So now, then the fun comes up. Now is this not transformation of energy? Is this not Shakti Parinama? Right? That the ignorance taking shelter of Brahman has now transformed into the Jiva. You know, by their philosophy. So the thing is even they're trying to explain their own philosophy, they have to actually use proper philosophy and then misrepresent it. You know, it's just like, let's say, someone's doing something. They're telling you, don't do that. Then they're doing it. And then you tell them, why are you doing it? They'll try to explain how they're not doing that. You know? So that's the point of cheating, right? Imperfect senses, cheating. You know what else is there?
Mistakes.
Yeah. So they've made a mistake here, and it's based on ignorance. So, what to do? But the jiva who produces this concept of jiva by ignorance should be beyond ignorance and its effects. By becoming pure, jiva becomes pure knowledge, right? So now this doesn't make sense. It's that you have Brahman. It doesn't have any energies by them, but at the same time, there's somehow or another this energy that just happens to be there. And it can't be independent of Brahman because Brahman is everything. So it takes shelter of Brahman, right? Even though Brahman has no energies. And there is only Brahman, so this energy couldn't have come from anywhere else, but somehow or another, supposedly it did. Then the jiva is produced. You know, the jiva produces its nature as jiva by its own ignorance. So that means it produces itself by its own ignorance. So this ignorance, so it has ignorance different from that ignorance or something. So it's two kinds of ignorance here. There's a jiva's in like that, but somehow or another, ignorance takes shelter of the jiva, and jiva takes shelter of ignorance, right? Because that's the thing, they can't explain it, so they just say, oh, they take shelter of each other. Where did they come from? How does that work? How can you take shelter? Because that requires potency, that requires arrangement, who's doing that? So they don't answer any of these things. But the jiva who produces his concept of jiva by ignorance should be beyond ignorance and its effects. Right? Otherwise, how do you go beyond, unless you're from beyond? So then we're also saying the jiva is beyond ignorance, so it's actually spiritual. Mm-hmm. Right? But they're saying that it's based in ignorance. But that's the conditioning, but not the actual soul. But they're mentioning, but not in that context. by becoming pure, right? I guess removing the ignorance, jiva becomes pure knowledge. But they're saying Brahman is pure knowledge. But how does this work if, you know, how is this working unless the shaktis are interacting? And where does the potency of shaktis come from? Unless it's from Brahman. Because if by using this you can get to Brahman, means you have to be using a potency that's connected with Brahman. So then, if Brahman has nothing to do with any of this, why would any of this process give you Brahman? Right? You know, if I manipulate money, I get money. You know, I manipulate foodstuffs, I get some, you know, food. Does that make sense?
And even we heard Linda say that Brahman, who has no shaktis, when it comes down to ignorance, creates effect as a jiva. And they said that that's shakti. So they accept in one sense that jiva is a shakti of Brahman. They do not accept Brahman to have all the shaktis.
Yes, no, that's the point. Is they're accepting the shaktis,
yeah.
But at the same time they're saying that it's not there.
Mm.
Means they're saying there's no shaktis. Then they give an explanation that's all about shaktis and how they're connected with Brahman. And how by following that you'll get to Brahman, and then they'll say there's still no shaktis. So that's a problem.
So how can an object which has no shakti create something which is shakti?
Yes, but that's the thing. They can't say where ignorance comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
If you explain this point to impersonally that ignorance is a shakti of shakti, but if they will ask that what is the purpose of existing?
What's the purpose?
Avidya Shakti, what is the purpose of existing? Avidya Shakti in Bhagavan. What we can do?
Means it's a transformation of it is the Shakti of knowledge. Right? So, the jiva not wanting to see their position in context of Brahman, then they come under this illusion. When the jiva sees everything in context of Brahman, then they are situated transcendentally. Right? Because they're saying by their own process, by becoming purified of this ignorance, you come to pure knowledge. Then you're situated on the Brahman platform. Right? They'll say you become Brahman, but in any way, it's the same concept they're thinking. Right? So, then the difficulty comes down is that they're not seeing is that living entities have turned away from the Lord. They're just saying somehow or another we're here. Right? But the point is that the living entities were with the Lord and turned away. That's why they're here. And when they turn back, then they'll go there again. So they're just starting out, we're just here, and then we go there. But our thing is we were there, we came here, and you can go back there. That's why we say back to Godhead. We don't say, you know, going for the first time, never been there before, Godhead. We say back to Godhead. Back means you were there. It's straightforward. The words are pretty obvious. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is because of not understanding the personal, then they can't understand these. So they're trying to understand from an impersonal point of view something that is personal. So that won't be understood. You can't. Does that make sense?
So they are not accepting the Shakti aspect. But they still want, and they are also not accepting the three gunas aspect of goodness, passion and ignorance. They are just considering the pure goodness and ignorance.
No, they accept that the modes are there and people are under the modes, but that's all part of this ignorance.
Okay.
It's all part of ignorance.
So that is, they are considering it as an attribute of Brahman.
No, they're considering it as an attribute of avidya.
Mm-hmm.
Because that they say Brahman has no attributes, you know. But they're saying here it takes shelter. But shelter means it's an activity. That means Brahman can give shelter. Otherwise, how can it take shelter? You know. But,
giving shelter is a decision of a person.
Yes. Very good. But, yes.
It seems that the whole philosophy. Shankaracharya is aiming at only changing the identity of a person from thinking I'm nothing to I belong to that Brahman.
Mm.
But the philosophy doesn't make sense.
No, because that's what he's saying. He's bewildering the atheists. So it doesn't mean it makes sense. That's why we keep going, why this doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't.
he being the lord of ego, he can change that identity of the person.
Yes, he can change the identity and still leave them in ignorance and still leave them in bewilderment. Yes, that takes talent. Yeah. Because then they're not following the Veda, so they can't get the full benefit. So when they follow the Veda, that's really the first step. Then you see the Vaishnava Acharyas then bring them back to devotional service. Because the purpose of the Veda is devotional service, so anything else is not the point of the Veda. Right? So just like the Karmis you're trying to bring to devotional service, the Jnanis you're trying to bring to devotional service. So, but and Buddhists don't generally come into karma very well. They can come into jnana because of their detachment and all. But unless they're a Hollywood celebrity, then that's another point. Okay. Uttara. But how does ignorance arise in Brahman by which he conceives of his being a jiva? That is impossible to imagine. This is shown in Sri Bhashya. Ignorance, the mainstay of their argument, cannot take shelter of Brahman, which is pure knowledge. They explain that because of ignorance, Brahman, the knower, falls into ignorance, thinking a shell is silver. So they think themselves to be a jiva. Right? And so having conceived of this, now then they come under that means they come under that ignorance, and then now they come up with all the things of who I am and everything like this. Then when you give that up, then you go back into Brahman. But then that means Brahman, as Ida Prabhu said, making a conscious decision to accept or give shelter to ignorance. It's because here is even giving shelter to ignorance means they come under it, ignorance. But for us is that the Lord is the shelter of all the potencies, but he's unaffected by them. So our position on accepting Brahman is actually a higher position. There's more respect for Brahman. Well, for them, they give less. That means Brahman is just, Brahman is foolish. And then, so if Brahman's foolish, and that's what we're trying to get to, then what's the big deal about, us being foolish? Right? Does that make sense? Why is everybody, making these points? We're foolish, we're under ignorance, when Brahman itself, the Supreme, has accepted this ignorance and therefore become the jiva. We're okay. So, therefore the philosophy, I'm okay, you're okay. Right?
So then with this, when they say that Brahman is pure knowledge and unchanging, they defeat their own philosophy.
Yes, exactly. They defeat their own philosophy. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point, is they defeat their own philosophy from whatever angle they start talking. Mm-hmm. But because of the modes of nature, we may think that it makes sense. So it's by studying this in the context of your Vaishnavism, then you can start to see the ignorance is removed and you can see it for what it is, which is very simply just not much of a philosophy.
The most bewildering part of their philosophy is how people believe it.
Yes. No, that's the fun part. And then there's those who are sincere about it, and that, but then they come in contact with, Lord Chaitanya and that, and then you see like Prakashananda Saraswati or Vaishnav Das, and then they take up spiritual life. I mean, they take up Vaishnavism. Those who are not, but understand the principle, they become your bogus gurus and have tons of followers and, do quite well. Like that. Because they know it's bogus, they just know that it people buy bogus.
Maharaj, even like Kumbh Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya priests, the main people who spread the mission later, or the fixed Mayavadis who got changed by their conviction.
Yes, because there's always got your best friend is your enemy who became your friend. Or say with Buddhism, all the Brahmins that took up Buddhism, they're the ones that preached it. Ignorance, so this is shown in Sri Bhashya. The ignorance, the mainstay of their argument, cannot take shelter of Brahman, which is pure knowledge. They explain that because of ignorance, Brahman, the knower, falls into ignorance, thinking a shell is silver. Brahman is not the shelter of ignorance, since it would then be like a pot, devoid of the capacity to know. By the proof of Parisheshya, remaining alternative, the Shaktis, which are beyond logic, must exist within Brahman, right? So, Parisheshya, remaining alternative, means you've shown all these things, you're trying to explain it, it doesn't make sense, you're using Shaktis, they're all taking shelter of the Lord, but at the same time we're saying the Lord is unaffected, that means he must be beyond, and the Shaktis being his Shaktis, they're the ones transforming. Because otherwise here, because of the Brahma Parinamavad, Brahman is changing. That's where the weakness comes. So therefore, since that doesn't work, and you can't have Shaktis not on their own, so then the Parisheshya means what's left, the only alternative, is that Brahman must have Shaktis and be unaffected by them because the Shaktis transform. So the Shaktis being part of Brahman aren't a dualistic aspect. They're just inherent in the Sarup of Brahman, the form of Brahman. Does this make sense? Yeah. That is the current correct conclusion. Brahman exists in this manner since it is not, it is a non-material entity. And they should accept it because they keep going neti-neti, so getting rid of things. So you've gotten rid of everything. There is nothing left. Because you've gotten rid of all the details. Now you're just down to Brahman, the jiva, and the material energy. You know, chitta-chit-ishwara. So now you can't go off into something else. So if one doesn't work like that, you know. The one that works and explains everything is Brahman has Shaktis. Like that. That is the correct conclusion. Brahman exists in this manner since it is a non-material entity. This is well known in Shruti and the Puranas. It is said that by accepting the inconceivable Shakti of the Lord, skillful arguments to defeat Advaita are not even necessary. But as soon as you get that, you don't need all these fancy technical arguments. Because that's the one point. You just stick to that point. And then, you know, it's like Prabhupada when he was discussing with the Christians. And, you know, you have the first commandment, thou shalt not kill. They'll, you know, all over the place and try to change to something else. And Prabhupada said, no, but it says, thou shalt not kill. He would just keep bringing it back. And so they couldn't do anything with it. So they said you just have to bring out this point. Just by that, it's all different. The Shaktis which have been proved are three, Antaranga, Tatastha, and Bahiranga. This will be shown in the main text. The last two Shaktis are not Antaranga. By them, the Lord cannot be contaminated. Right? So the internal... Right, the Antaranga Shakti, that he's interacting with. But the Tatastha and the Bahiranga, he's not. Right, when the Tatastha comes under Antaranga, then he interacts with the Jiva because they've taken shelter of the internal potency. Does that make sense? So our relationship with Krishna is never direct. It's always through the internal potency. Right, and he never consorts with the Bahiranga, so that's why he's not interacting with us. When we're under the shelter of the external. That's why he sends the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, the Shastra. You know, he's giving instruction in the heart, but, you know, it's not necessarily that we appreciate it. The Shaktis eternally take shelter of him. Cannot function on their own without his presence and are suitable as his effects. Tathasta Shakti will be shown in the Paramatma Sandarbha. Right, because here we've shown the internal and external. So the point is he has his Shaktis, they transform, therefore you get the material world. So the whole point is that he has Shaktis and the transformation, so then, and how he pervades everything, that's his Brahman aspect. But it's him who's doing this. Does that make sense? So the Brahman understanding is, the unchanging Lord, transcendental Lord, has eternal Shaktis that are non-different from his Sarup. Right? And so he has no inferior qualities. By his shaktis transforming, then you get the creation. Right? And then those jivas that are qualified, they are sent to the material world. Right? That makes sense. Looking at things in a positive light. Yeah? And so then, you know, it's just like, you know, the guy killed somebody. So now he qualifies for, a life sentence, you know, free accommodation, you know, food, you know, you got everything. No? Yeah. So the Lord, then this is his position. So then the material world is created. And he's pervading everything. All his energies are pervading everything. And so then this aspect, this is Brahman. You understand? We're not seeing as Brahman just Brahma Jyotir on its own. We're seeing Brahman as that effect of his shaktis expanding and pervading everything. And then whatever transformations and the variety are created, then that's what's there. Does that make sense? So that's the whole. That's why it's called Bhagavat Sandarbha. It's about the Lord, but this feature of Brahman. Right? Just like Paramatma will be Bhagavan, the feature is Paramatma. Right? So, in sense. Well, now that we've established that principle, then we can just discuss it. We just say Paramatma. So, in sense. And then as Bhagavan, you don't have to say Bhagavan because you've already established that, because that's a principle. Right? Because hey, Bhagavan, that's a general principle. It's specific, that's Vishnu Tattva. But now, who's the source of all that? That's Krishna. So then Krishna Sandarbha. Does that make sense? So it's a very specific way of looking at things. That Krishna is the origin of everything. All the Vishnu Tattvas, all the Shaktis, all the transformations. So it's Krishna who's the original. So that's then why he's the one, because if you're worshipping the Supreme, he is the Supreme. That's why the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So from that vision, then you see the other aspects of Brahman and Paramatma. Right? And so then Brahman, how he pervades everything, Paramatma, then how he pervades in that way and controlling everything. Because as Brahman, it's pervading and it's existing. Paramatma, it's controlled. Right? But as Bhagavan, as Krishna, then he's enjoying with his devotees in the natural position. And so these things, the same principles going on in the spiritual world, the transformation of the energies and all that, but Krishna himself personally doesn't have to do it. That's done with his Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. So his expansions take care of that. And he just enjoys with his internal potency. Because right? Unless you can give up this concept, how you'll get there. Right? So you're giving up that I'm the controller and enjoyer. Right? Then you can appreciate how Krishna's the controller and enjoyer. So many times. The Antaranga and Bahiranga Shaktis are described as superior and inferior. I offer respects to that eternal Shakti of yours who is present in all beings, who is the shelter of the Gunas. I worship the superior spiritual Shakti which is beyond all words and mind, inferred only by unlimited knowledge of the conditioned Jivas. Vishnu Purana 1:19-76-77. The meaning is this. O Lord of the devotees, Sureshwara, O Lord who reveals Shakti to protect the devotees, O abode of Shaktis for creation and destruction, Sarvatman, since you are the original cause of all things, I offer respects to your inferior, Apara, Bahiranga Shakti, also called Jiva Maya or Guna Maya, which controls the Jivas. Right? So he has the internal, and then he's offering respects to his eternal external energy, which is an aspect or a transformation of the internal potency. So Jiva Maya is that controlling the Jiva. She's, what do you call it? Guna Maya, because it's through the gunas that she does this controlling. And then, what's the other form where she's the Upadana? That's just Maya, or is it?
These two are based on the functions she does, that's why it's called Jiva Maya or Guna
Maya. Oh, okay.
Jiva Maya is like, as you said, covering, and then Guna Maya is, she provides the facility for.
Okay, so then the Guna Maya includes the Upadana and everything, yeah, the bodies, everything. And that. So that's the covering. I mean, the throwing. Okay, she covers you with the Jiva Maya, so you think it's great to be a pig, and she puts you in a pig body. Okay. A little slower today. I offer respects. Is this the one? Oh, yeah. I offer respects, the inferior Shakti, to let the Jiva become free of it. Is it to the inferior Shakti? It is the shelter of the gunas, like sattva, a function of material prakriti, which keeps the gunas in equilibrium. Maya Shakti, like a spider, reveals a web of gunas from the state of equilibrium of the gunas. From a single place and controls the Jiva who is bound by illusion, just as a web binds an insect. This Shakti is eternal, Shashvatayaha. This indicates that it is natural to the Lord. This Shakti can be understood from the previous discussions. So, from this single place, from the Pradhan, where they're all in balance, then it's extended out, and by this, then all the living entities are controlled. You know, just like the insect is controlled by the you know, bound in the web. Okay. I praise the Shakti which is beyond words and mind, which cannot be described by own types and qualities, which belongs to the Lord, Ishwarim, being his antaranga Shakti. So Ishwarim instead of Ishwarot, right? Half his body, also called Chit Shakti and Atma Maya, and which is the shelter of the Bahiranga Shakti, Param. I offer respect so that I can follow this Shakti. Riti. Having explained that the Shaktis of the Lord is not different from him, now Srila Jiva Goswami explains the process of revelation of the Lord along with his Shaktis. Right? So how we'll now appreciate? Because by logic we've seen that this is the only, having removed all other options, the only option left is that Brahman has Shakti. And he's the controller of that and unaffected by the transformations of the Shakti. Right? Because otherwise if he changes, then the Shakti is based on Brahman. So it can act, but now if Brahman changes, that means the shelters change, that means the Shakti can't function in the same way. So he has to be unchanging for the Shaktis to transform.
Yes.
Or to exist at all. Right? So, yeah. So that being the only option left, so then having gone through all varieties of mental speculation, this is the only one that's viable. Right? So this is where you should have started in the first place. Right?
Maharaj, that's why in Gita, Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanam Mante, after
many
speculations.
Yes. Yeah, Krishna's being inspiring here. Because in Brahma Samhita, then it says, even if the yogis drill the reparation for millions of lifetimes. So Krishna is just saying thousands, you know, it's a little bit more inspiring. How is the situation of the Lord with his Shaktis to be understood? It is expressed through the localized knowledge concerning types and words produced by impure jivas, jnaninam. Just as a huge body of water is understood by rivers, waterfalls, and ponds, since it includes them all. Since the Lord Shakti produces everything, it is said, Purnasya pranam uta chakshushas chakshur uta shrotasya shrotam anasyanam manaso manaha. The Lord is the prana of all pranas, the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the food of all food, and the mind of the mind. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.17. So he's even the food of the food. So if something has that potency and all that, then you have to see it how it connects to the Lord. Right? Because everything has potency in it. Right? Does that make sense? So the point is therefore then for how the life airs are working in our particular, the prana is working in our body, then that means then you have food that work for that. You have, you know, senses that work with that. So then what our senses are supposed to see and do and hear, right? What we're supposed to eat, what, you know, all these things, because it goes with our particular manifestation of prana, since he is the prana. He is the prana of all pranas. He is the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear. So everything has to go back to him. So what's the ear for? It's for hearing about Krishna. You know, it can do so many things. Does that make sense? But this is what it's for. So one has to see from this point. Otherwise, if you just see what's good for yourself, then you're not seeing. This is explaining, you know, Vijnana and Anandamaya. You know, and so we can approach it from Vijnanamaya. But now if we're taking this from Anamaya, oh, you eat this food and then you'll be, this will be helpful, then you're not really getting the point or missing the point. Right? Or his Shakti reveals, Parichedya, knowledge, jnana, and the jiva, jnani, just as a pot is revealed. Tam eva, bantam anubhati sarvam. He illuminates all things, which then shine. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.14. Or, by his Shakti, all the internal and external activities and knowledge of the jivas, from plants to Brahman are activated. Jnana, jnani, parichedya. Ko hyevanyat ka pranyat. Yad esha akasha anando nasyat. If the Lord did not have bliss, how could anything be alive? Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. Or, the Shakti is understood by knowledge arising naturally from the pure jiva. For it is said, Nahi drashtur drishter vipari lopo vidyate. There is no separation of the seeing from the seer. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.2.32. When he is not liberated, he identifies himself only as a witness. Knowledge of himself, though recognized, is covered by Maya's illusion and has the fault of not manifesting as Surup's happiness. Right? Because he's not seeing who he is in connection with the Lord, because that's the reality. The jiva is a manifestation of the from the Tatastha Shakti, which is a portion of the Surup Shakti, which is then the Lord Shakti and non-different from the Lord. So, if we don't see ourselves in that context as being part and parcel of the Lord, you actually aren't self-realized. You may catch certain things. You can learn things. You'll know something. And that may be able to be used in karma or in jnana. But it won't actually reveal who we are fully. You know. And so So then, until it's seen in context of or in connection to, then how will we be happy? Because knowing ourselves fully, that means Satchitananda. And that means then you have to see it in context of the Lord, because it's his Ananda. That's what the pastimes are. So we're part of his pastimes. Right? And so you won't be happy until you're in contact with his happiness. Right? Because of his desire for happiness, that's why you have the creation. So the whole creation is based on happiness. Yes?
The question is about ability to do parinama information.
About which parinama?
Parinama. We say that if you see variety here in material world, means that source also has variety.
Yes.
If someone, in personal life, but following this logic, we see that Shakti has ability to be changeable.
Yes.
So why Brahman means that the source Brahman also must be changeable? Why you say that he...
No, but that it said before that he is beyond these things. He's a different entity. See, is that when we take Shaktis and try to say the Shaktiman is Shakti, that's already a mistake. You can't say the generator is electricity. No, it's the source of electricity. But to try to say is, oh, if you're saying the light bulb, the light bulb is because of electricity, you know, it's functioning, so therefore the electricity is because of the generator, so the generator must be electricity. You know, the generator sits there and alternates in one place. No, it doesn't. It just sits there. It's unchanging. Does that make sense? And by that one, it pervades everywhere by the Shakti. Right? You have one generator, and then for such a huge area, the energy is going out. So the Lord is unlimited, therefore doesn't have. The point is they're taking it that he is Shakti, but no, he's Shaktiman. He's different. We're Shakti. The illusory nature is Shakti. The internal potency is Shakti, but he's beyond that. He's the source of it. Does that make sense? Because the Shastra says he is unchanging. So therefore, you have to be able to put the two together, right? Isn't it? The puzzle means you have two pieces and you don't know how they fit. And to just say, oh, they're one, there's no need to fit them. Or there's nothing, you know, problem solved. So that's not actually very mature. You can't call that an intellectual approach. You know, they'll try to pass it off as intellectual. It's a matter of prestige. But the point is that the living, the Brahman being unchanging must be the source of energy. So that's the inconceivable aspect, is how that unlimited is there in something that is perceivable, at the same time as unperceivable by material logic or qualities. So that's why all the Shastra is saying all these things. You have to be able to put them all together. You can't just take parts, one part and not the other. Yeah. So, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand ki.